Manila, talking to John, I was asking about the fellows that he was working with, and his key fellows, he'd been out, you know, out in the country there in the Philippines to visit their home on the weekend or something like that. But, you know, that really is good to get a feel of what their home situation is, what their background is. Also, their interests and their attitudes about things. See, this comes from spending time with them and talking with them. And their reactions, I think this is very important. And this is something you can't program. You can't sit down and tell me, Ken, what are your reactions? You know, it doesn't work that way. The way you find out reactions is by sharing a variety of experiences together. It's not just the Bible study group. It's not just the spiritual activities. It's the sports. It's the work. It's the conferences. It's the travel. It's the good times, the bad times, when they feel well, when they feel bad. And how they react, you really get to know the person. And then the real life ministry, and also in real life, their own personal life. But the reason I put real life is that is seeing it in a real situation. In other words, so I don't just go up and say, tell me, how is your personal life? But try to be with them in a real life situation so I can observe what their personal life is. And when I was in the Navy, they had, you know, these checklists, sort of like the one I just showed you. And this is when I was a seaman nothing, and I was trying to work myself up to seaman something. And the petty officer that was checking me out on this went down the list, you know, and he was sitting there, and we were sitting down in the boiler room, and he was saying, yeah, this, you're supposed to be able to tie these kind of knots. Can you do that? Oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, man. How about this? You know, I'm supposed to do that. Can you do that? Oh, sure, I can do that, you know. And we went right down the list. If we ever get to that stage, you know, we've had it when it comes to disciple making. But the way we get to know this is this thing I showed you this morning on 2 Timothy 2:2, is not just that we're putting input, that we're also spending time with the guys down below. Know the person that you're working with. And then the third thing is to know how to train, and this has to do with training objectives. And simply, a training objective is just a statement of what you're trying to accomplish in training a person. And I've listed out here just a little bit of an outline of how you can come up with the training objectives. Here's John, you know, some guy you're working with. The first thing is to list the needs. In other words, just jot down, you know, a piece of paper. What are some of the needs that John has? See, keep in mind, you know your goal. You know where you're headed. You spent time with John. You know him. Now you're trying to figure out just what you can do to train him. So you jot down, what are some of his needs? Now, where do you get that? Well, first from the checklist. In other words, you got this in your notebook. So you take a look across here at John, and there's some things that either are unobserved or maybe he hasn't accomplished. That becomes a need. For example, he may need to lead someone to Christ in order to become a disciple maker. So you jot down, you know, needs to lead a man to Christ. Then second is just from problems. And you know how it is in real life in the ministry. You go and just spend some time chatting, and boy, there are all kinds of questions and things that come up. Problems may be too strong a word. Maybe it's just things that the person needs to discuss. And it could be that in all this discussion and getting to know the person, you pinpoint something that is not something that you just handle in making, you know, a few comments or sharing some verses, but it's something you have to work on, and that becomes a need. So you jot that down. And the third thing is just from need, some need in the future. In other words, it's not necessarily a problem, but you know that, you know, 2 or 3, 4 months from now, he's going to be having some fellows to be a team leader. So you need to start preparing him for the future. And so you jot that down. And then after you've jotted these things down, you see you've gotten some material here to work with. You know your goal, so these things are in line with your goal. You know your man, so these things are real to him. They're relevant. Then the second thing you do is you have this list, and you pray over and decide, now, just what should I really work on for this next 2 or 3 months or whatever period of time it is? And you might say, well, these three things, if I work on that and accomplish that, well, I would really feel like we've really done something with this fellow. So you decide on that, and then you write it out in terms of a training objective. And the training objective is something that's written out in a way that's realistic, but measurable, something that you can say yes or no, I have accomplished at, you know, at the end of 3 months. No, X, you know, weeks or something. In other words, it doesn't matter what the length of time is. But at the end of that time, you can say yes or no, he has, in fact, accomplished that training objective. Now, we'll come back and actually work out some specific training objectives so you get a feel of this for a couple of these stages of training. Now, this little chart here is something that's helpful in figuring out, now, once I've got the training objective, how am I going to meet it? And this is something that gets a little bit detailed that you'd probably, you know, if you have 50 guys you're following up and you've got 3 training objectives every week, you may not go into it this detailed. But it's just a little format here that guides you in knowing how to actually accomplish the training objective. And particularly, I think it applies down these more advanced stages. Up here, we do a similar thing, but I'll show you how it's more simplified and you don't have to do reams of homework. You know, you do have time to get on with your ministry. But basically what this is, let me just raise it up here. Is first a statement of the training objective. You know, just a sentence statement of the training objective. Let me read you one or two just. This is up in this category here. Here's training objective number 5. He has a clear 3-minute testimony written out and has given it to at least 2 non-Christians without major hesitation. In other words, I can say yes, he has done that, or no, he has not done that. Now, down in this stage, well, I've got some more here, but let me just move on. We can come back to that later. But then, what is it specifically that we want to help him in? How do we do it, and when do we do it? And in training, it's helpful to think that in 3 different aspects of our training, and that is the things that we teach, the things that we train, the things that we transmit. Teaching in terms of imparting knowledge, training in terms of developing skills, transmitting in terms of developing qualities of life. So when you think about that training objective, there might be a certain thing that he needs just some knowledge on. He just needs to know the facts. Okay, so you put down just what that is. What is it? And it could be that the training objective, one, we picked one up at the last, I think up at Larry's place, but anyway, it was something that had to do with, you know, learning how to use his tongue. Well, it could be knowledge. He may need to know just what the scriptures say about that. So maybe what do you teach him? Okay, have a Bible study on, you know, topical study on the tongue. You know, or he needs to know he needs to know what the scriptures say about the tongue, how, topical Bible study on the tongue, when. Then you might say, well, we've got this advanced STS that he's in. You know, we meet every week and so many other things going in our ministry, we don't have time, but we do have a break coming up in 6 weeks. So maybe that week we're, you know, have a break, that'd be a good time to do that. Train. This has to do with the skill. What kind of skill? Then how do you do it? When do you do it? And transmitting of your life. And this transmitting of your life is about the same thing as I was talking about, you know, this matter of observation, you know, that he can see your life. Take witnessing, for example. In other words, he needs to know the gospel. He needs to know the facts. Training, he needs to know the skill of actually outdoing it, actually have presented the gospel and all. But quality of life is that he has a heart and concern for the lost. Now, that's the thing that really matters. That's the hard thing. And this is the thing I think the Western Division is really, in a lot of these areas, is good at. Whereas they've got a lot of, you know, heart and motivation and all, but we have to make sure that it keeps getting passed on down the line. And sometimes this is done, the reason for putting it in, you can say, well, if it's just my sharing my life, he's just going to get it. But this is not necessarily true. He has to be around me to get it. So I have to make sure that the person's around me. And also, there are ways that we can transmit our life even though we're not on the scene. I remember, you know, Joe Simmons, he'd come over to Sydney and he'd say, boy, you know, when I was on the plane, you know, I got talking to this guy, you know, and he goes on and tells us this story, you know, he got talking to this fellow and all the things that happened. Well, he was transmitting his life. You know, he's just sharing that with us, but we caught the idea, you know, Joe is really concerned for that old boy there. Well, all this is something we have to make sure that we get across to the men that we're working with. Okay, well, that's the overall, you know, principles and concepts. Before we go on to a guide for follow-up and, you know, try to work it out, questions?
Just a quick question. Would you always have, then, all three aspects under every training objective?
Not necessarily.
In other words, it might be a matter of teaching matter, it might be a training matter, it might be transmitting or anything.
Or a combination.
Mm-hmm.
And in all this, by the way, the thing that's helped me most is just make it real. Man, don't make it sound so nice on paper, but it doesn't really work. Like objectives. Some of you are looking at some of these objectives. Well, they're not all that, I mean, to me, they aren't all that profound, rosy sound. I mean, they're very simple, but they're real. I mean, that's down at the level we're really working at. And I keep trying to make all this stuff, you know, get it down where you say it like it is, you know. Because what happens is that, you know, when you're sharing this, like with your supervisor, and he's had a lot of experience, he knows, you know, what's real. So you don't have to make it sound, you know, that's probably one of the biggest weaknesses or, you know, problems when a person starts first doing these objectives and activities and this type of thing, is it becomes so idealistic, you know, so much doing all this that you never have a show of accomplishing it. But make it simple, make it real. Okay, let's take about 5 minutes or so or 10 minutes and stand up and stretch a bit, and then we'll come back and go into a guide for follow-up in this stage. For the rest of this session, we want to go into the application of this, some of these principles we've talked about, in terms of training a person in the follow-up stage. And this is what I call a guide to follow-up. Now, remember we said that the first thing that we did in structured training was to know our goal. And the profile, what's the profile that we use? Well, our goal is a NAV disciple, so what profile we use? Well, that's obvious, profile of a NAV disciple. Now, when I was down in Sydney, we started working with this idea of training objectives, and in trying to get it implemented, a very interesting thing came up in our discussions, and that was we started it sort of working around this way, in that we started working with the reps and got them working out training objectives, and then they started getting their team leaders working out training objectives and started, you know, filtering back down the line that way. But what happened was that we didn't initially take into consideration the fact that there are different spiritual age. And so I could work out with one of my reps, say, two or three training objectives that would last us for 3 to 6 months. You know, I could pray over it and sort of go through this more detailed format here, work it out and spend some time doing that, and then spend time 3 to 6 months working with him on it. But then when he started going on down the line to take one of his men who was a disciple maker and a team leader, to get him start working out training objectives for this man, the man was trying to figure out, now, boy, what could I work out as a training objective for this fella? And he was finding out that he was spending all his time trying to figure out what the training objective should be, and he didn't have any time to do the ministry. And there's a little simple explanation of that, and that is that here there are some simple training objectives that I'd like to see accomplished in everybody who's coming up to be a NAV disciple. You know, just like a young baby, there's some little basic things that you want everybody to have. And what I've, in our discussions, what we came up with is that in this stage, we can work out some training objectives. We don't have to work out training objectives for every man. In other words, every time we get a man, work it out. We can just work out a list of training objectives, and that's true for every man that's in this stage. So once we've worked it out, we've done it. So here's a list, say, of 30 training objectives. The way we individualize it is the fact that John is working on 3, 4, and 7. This man may be down here working on 12, 13, and 14. I mean, I'm working with him on it. But I don't spend any extra time, you know, doing the paperwork. And then as we were thinking about that, we thought in terms of working out, you know, they were thinking, what kind of new and exotic training objective could I have? And doing all this deep mental searching. And it occurred to me that as a basic syllabus for training people in the follow-up stage, what's wrong with stays in Christian living? So we started working on that. And it seems to me that Stays in Christian Living, books 1 to 6, is quite a good syllabus for training a person in the follow-up stage. So then what we did is took the profile of an NAV disciple, the Stays in Christian Living, books 1 to 6, and applied these principles of training men to that stage. And so we had our goal then, and our man, knowing our man was just getting to know the man. And then the third thing about knowing how to train him, this matter of training objectives, we took that and worked it out, some training objectives, based on Studies in Christian Living, books 1 to 6. And what I did is to get everybody who's a disciple maker working with him, let them work it out. So their 25, 30, or 35 training objectives is what they have worked out, see? They have the framework, but it's personalized. It's their thing that they've worked out. In other words, I didn't give them, say, here are the training objectives to work with this guy. But once you've worked it out, then you know what to look for in the development of a man as he matures up to become a disciple. So that's what I want to cover here, is what we worked out. Show you how we did it. And if you think it's workable in your situation where you can use it, if not, do something else. But the way we approached it is try to apply the principles of this matter of training. And the way we did it is something like this. Let's take a man. Let's say, okay, here's a brand new convert. And let's say, to make it simple here, that he's become a convert, but he hasn't started and stays in Christian Living, so we want to get him started and stays in Christian Living. Or maybe he was in it and in somewhere in book one. So on this side is the Bible study. And the reason we call it a guide is it's not a magic formula. It's not something, you know, if you just plop it in, you know, you'll crank out disciples, because we're dealing with people. It's only a guide. And you'll find, I haven't found any two people that responded exactly the same way. But what's been helpful is to have a guide and then be able just, you know, to roll with the punch or roll with the individual. So we have in book one, three lessons. So in the Bible study, I have three Bible studies. So what do I try to do? I get this new convert. Well, one of the main things I'm trying to do in terms of commitment way back up here is just get him committed to doing Bible study. And what does the Bible study do? The Bible study is a way that he gets some things that helps him in Christian life. Just in the group and in the discussion, he'll get some things from these three lessons. Now, in addition to that, I might feel that there's something else as I help this person that I'd like to get across to him in addition just to the Bible study. Something that some kind of additional help. Now let's take these three Bible studies here. Well, let me just put in the title. Because it helps me know, you know, what we're covering. It gives me a little reminder. Who is Jesus Christ? The work of Christ, eternal life in Christ. And the way this works, to try to give you a picture here, is that here we have the Bible study. So he's going through the Bible study. And as we go along, at certain points, maybe not every chapter or something, but at certain points, there may be something that he would not automatically get just by being in the Bible study group. But it's something that we feel would be helpful to him in terms of his growth and development. And then at certain milestones, which I've chosen at the end of each book, I would like to have some training objectives that by the time he gets through that book, he's accomplished this. Book one. And generally, it works out at an average about, say, one training objective per chapter. But book one is just getting started. And what I have one training objective for book one. You know, I don't want to make it too complicated. Additional help. Is there any additional help? Well, one thing I think of is what normally happens, and this is where it's sort of a guide. It doesn't always happen this way, but I'd assume that somewhere, either before or in here, he's become a Christian. So I've gotten him in Bible study. What else? Okay, what do you do? Let me just throw out you. Someone who's just become a Christian, in addition to getting him into Bible study, is there anything else that you'd like to do within the first couple weeks or so of being a Christian? What do you do? Okay. Assurance of salvation. Well, that just happens to be one of the things that I have over here. Now, see, he might have gotten that, but it could be we need some extra personal time or something. Somebody might need to talk to him outside the Bible study group to really make sure he's got that. So that just jogs my thinking that I want to be aware of that. Okay, what else do you do? Anything else? Oh, we still use that, do we? Okay, beginning with Christ. Okay, now this is the type of thing. See, now he wouldn't necessarily, just by doing the Bible study lesson, have gotten started in beginning with Christ, right? Now, additional help doesn't necessarily mean that you have to get with him man to man. For example, the way this can work, you might have four people there at the same stage, so when you're doing this lesson, at the end of the lesson, you give them a 10-minute sales pitch on beginning with Christ and try to get them all started. But you make sure that, you know, he's trying to do it. And at the end of that time, you have some training objective. So let me just see what you all would have. We won't try to state it out right now, but just sort of tell me, at the end of, by the time a person's finished book one, if you had, say, one thing that you wanted him to have accomplished that you can see specifically, what would it be? John Carroll.
Desire to keep on in Bible study.
Okay, desire to keep on Bible study. What someone else wants to do?
To really know the gospel.
Okay, to really know the gospel. What does someone else want to have?
Fundamental idea of who Christ is and this idea of salvation, what it entails through Christ.
Okay.
I think it's the idea to realize that he is saved and what Christ has done for him.
Okay, well, anyway, this is the idea. Now, in this, what I'm going to do is give you the idea, and what you put in, you have to make it your own. Okay? So, in other words, I don't have any answers. But the end of the training objective should be something specific that you can see. And also, the main just caution that I'd give here, the tendency is to make it too overwhelming, you know, too complicated. And keep in mind, he may have just become a Christian a week or two before. Now, what do we really expect of a 1 or 2 week old Christian? And, you know, write it in his, those terms. And all these, this is the type of thing, all these things that you mentioned is the type of thing, and you can make it your own. I'll just give you mine, just to give you an idea of how it works. So, these two things I had down, and then for the training objective, I had, he has a confident expression of his assurance of salvation based on Christ's work in the Word. Now, that's my goal. Now, what generally happens here, of course, is that he's come up, he's finished book three, and I've motivated him to get into book two, say he's responded to that, and it could be that he still has not accomplished training objective one, which he should have done at the end of book one. Now, here again, it's a guide. I don't say, sorry, you can't go on to book two now. You've got to get that training objective. See, I never talked to him about training objectives. He doesn't even know I've got training objectives. He doesn't have a clue about training objectives. All he knows is something's happened in his life. See, I don't overwhelm him with all these technical terms. But what it tells me, we go on to book two, we keep pushing ahead, and all this tells me is that that's the thing I make top of my prayer list and do all I can to work with him on, is to help him accomplish that. And he might even be in book four before he ever gets assurance of salvation. But it doesn't bother me because it's just a guide. But what have I been doing all that time? I've been praying and I've been doing all I could to make sure he had assurance of salvation. You get the idea? In other words, it's sort of flexible to fit in with the person. And it doesn't mean either, working the other way, say down at the end of, at the end of book 5, I have training objective 22. Well, he might get really motivated on that particular topic way back in book 2. I don't say, sorry, I can't help you with that. You can't do anything, don't do a thing on that, you know, you can't do that until book 5. In other words, go ahead, when he's motivated, work with him on that. It just means that if he hasn't accomplished that by the time he's through book 5, that goes to the top of my prayer list, the top of my, you know, personal attention with him. That's the idea. Well, let's do, let me do book 2 just to real quickly give you the idea. A little bit, and okay, book. The New Life, Lordship of Christ, the Devotional Life, and Witnessing for Christ. Now, what are some things in terms of additional help? Now, what I've done is just jotted down some things that I want to sort of have my memory jogged at about that stage of his development I'd like to get across to him that he wouldn't normally get in his Bible study. So, New Life, The thing I have down here is the wheel illustration. You know, the wheel illustration is tucked in back behind there in book two. But I like to get out. Now, I might share it in the Bible study group, you know, or whatever seems appropriate. But I'd like to make sure that he doesn't overlook that, because, you know, in case he doesn't happen to read, you know, the appendix back there. Lordship of Christ. Well, it could be. What I find often, a person needs some counsel on some aspect of lordship. So I have to, I'll put that down. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody, you do that necessarily, but you're just alert that that might be something that he'll need some help on. Devotional life. What's something outside the Bible study group that you might do about that time? What would you all do? See, you said, have a quiet time with him. Good old Cease. One thing about Cease, he really got it figured out. Yeah, I'll leave it to Cease. I've traveled around quite a few areas all around the United States, and I believe, I haven't kept track, you know, I've written down anything. I believe if it's not every area, it's been almost every area, I've met some person that's been a Cease Davidson product. He's the one name that keeps cropping up all across the United States. Quiet time with him. And witnessing, okay. What's something there in addition to the Bible study? What was that? Okay, bridge illustration. That wouldn't be too bad. Bridges or arrows or whatever you're using these days. Okay. Well, now, personal, what about testimony? What do you mean by testimony? What about testimony?
Knowing how to share it.
Would you say that again?
Knowing how to share testimony. Or you talk about witnessing, write it out.
Okay. Okay, here we go. See, now the Bible study, part of the Bible study lesson is to write out his personal testimony. So by doing the Bible study, he should have written it out. But are you satisfied there? No. Take him out and let him actually give it. See, okay? Take out witnessing. That'd do something for him. You know, let him use it. Well, this is the idea, you see. And you can keep doing this clear on through for all six books. This is for the first six books for this stage, the follow-up stage here. Now, training objectives at the end of book two, I have four training objectives. And for book two, basically, they fall into line to these four. Now, some of the books, it doesn't fall in that way, and you just have to, you know, it. Well, in book three, you know the chapter on the hand? Well, to write out one training objective for the whole hand, you know, that's a hard one to figure out. So I have about five, I think, on maybe that one chapter. And then some of those, but anyway, you've just got to, you know, figure out what fits. You know, it's sort of flexible, it's sort of a guide, whatever works for you. But let me give you these training objectives here just to give you an idea of how I've done this. Training objective two, which has to do with this one up here, is he knows how to experience victory over temptation and has actually experienced victory through applying this knowledge. Now see, some of this he would have gotten from the Bible study group, like knowing how to experience victory over temptation. That's what the Bible study, that's what that's about. And it could be, though, he filled in the blanks and didn't get the message. He didn't meet the training objective. We might have to work with him a little bit more on that. Training objective three, he has a desire to put Christ first in the major areas of his life and is taking steps to make Christ Lord in each of these areas. Now, let me just, on that one, show you what I'm doing here and what I'm leading up to. When this averages out, you'll probably have anywhere between 25 and 35 training objectives for the first six books. But what you're leading up to is that by the time he's finished those 35 training objectives or whatever it is, He does, in fact, meet the profile of an ad disciple. But it's sort of graduated. Let me show you. See, you may have noticed some similarity in that training objective I just read. See, point one of the profile is that he or she puts Christ first in the major areas of life, taking steps to separate from sin. He puts Christ first in the major areas of life. He puts Christ first in the major areas of life, taking steps to separate from sin. That's the profile. Training objective three is related to that. But as I was thinking about it, I thought, boy, he's only probably been a Christian, book one, book two, let's say 2 months. Well, boy, to meet that, I'd say that may be a little bit soon. So when I wrote about my training objectives, are trying, you know, where it fits in, trying to fit in with that. So the way I wrote it, he puts Christ first. I wrote here at that level, he has a desire to put Christ first in the major areas of life and is taking steps to make Christ Lord in each of these areas. In other words, he's gotten started. You know, he's taking a little step in that direction. Now, but by the time he's a disciple, he does put Christ first, you see. So I've tried to work it out that way. Or take number four. Well, on the profile, he has a consistent daily devotional time and is developing his prayer life. Well, here, that's probably a little soon, but I think, you know, in terms of devotional life, what is reasonable for a 2-month-old Christian? What would I like to see him have accomplished? Well, this is what I put down. He has a daily time alone with God of at least 10 minutes. You know, every day he's having a quiet time, and it's at least 10 minutes. Well, it might be more than that. He might be really motivated. Well, no problem. But at least he's got the matter of being regular and consistent. And then over the next few months, we'll be working with him on, developing it and deepening it. And then the fifth one, he has a clear 3-minute testimony written out and has given it to at least 2 non-Christians without major hesitation. In other words, it's not just theory, but he's actually doing it. And, he's finished book 2. Now he's moving on. He's in chapter 2 of book 3. What do I do? Well, I pray back over these 4. No, I go back to all 5 of them and say, okay, while he's in book 3, I want to just review and see how is he doing on those 5. And what you'll find, probably, is that everybody's different. You know, here's this fellow. He had assurance of salvation, and, you know, sure enough, boy, he's up in book 4 now, and he's lost his assurance. What do you do? Well, you work with him and all. In other words, there's no set pattern. You know, everybody's an individual. But what does it tell you? It tells you that if he doesn't have it, I should be praying for him and working on him with it. And same thing here, right on down the line. Then book 3, book 4, book 5, book 6, you just continue on the same way. And then let me just write at the end, book 6, let me show you what my... Oh, at the end of book 5, training objective 24. He puts Christ first in the major areas of life, taking steps to separate from sin. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay, see, that's the first... Now, that's one point of the profile. So, in this case, I'd like to see him have gotten that by the time he's through book 5. And then to book 6, in addition to one or two other training objectives, are the profile objectives. You know, so I've got to incorporate in here, so I make sure he's sort of leading up to that. And then to book 6, I've got them all written out. Okay, that's the idea. Now, the way we did this, which I think is a good format, like I say, this is not something you work all this out for each new person. In other words, you work this out once, and then every new person, it applies to all the people you're working with. And then what will happen, too, you see, you find that one training objective you worked out, like, say, that 10-minute quiet time, you might find, boy, you know, really... it's very easy for him to be having a 15-minute quiet time at that time. So you scratch it out and put 15 minutes. Or it might work the reverse. You see, you might find it was too stiff a requirement. So you scratch it out and rework it. And it all, you know, gets relevant and workable. Now, this is a format that we've used, we worked with down in Dwight's region. And this is a format basically that we've used in PAN in the with Scotty as far as our training objectives in our notebooks. And the way this would work then is that you would have a notebook and these training objectives in, you'd have one page for each of these. Like I have 33 training objectives, then you'd have 33 pages for your training in this stage. Then when you get down to this stage, you have, you know, X number of training objectives worked out like this. Same thing here. And we've worked it out. You know, you can work it out. You can keep going as long as you want to go, whatever level you want to work it out at. But this is a basic format. And so training objective, some of these, you know, have been suggested in, you know, your comments here, how you do this. But let's just take a training objective here and try to do one, see what. Well, okay, I'll just pick one here. It's this one is training objective 10. He is memorizing new verses. This is in the book 3, by the way, just to give you an idea of where it comes in. He's memorizing new verses regularly, at least one per week, in the new TMS, and is able to say word perfect the first 12 verses plus the beginning with Christ. So on this page, I'd write that in. He is memorizing new verses regularly. At least one per week. See, that does not mean that I'm suggesting they should memorize one a week. But I'm... if he's not doing that, he doesn't meet the training objective. In the new TMS, and is able to say word perfect the first 12 verses of the first 12 verses plus beginning with Christ. Okay, activities and timetable. Now, by the way, keep in mind, in this, make it real, keep it simple, and you don't necessarily fill in all the blanks. In other words, if something would be helpful, put it in. If it's not, leave it blank. That's the way I do it. You know, I don't try to... There's a blank to fill up, I've got to put something in, because if you do it that way, you won't use it anyway. Activities and timetable. Okay, what is the training objective? The training objective has to do with getting him involved, memorizing the new TMS, and getting him, and also checking out on whether he's got it or not. Now, what do you do to get people in the new TMS? You know, forget about filling this in, but just what do you do? How do you get people in the new TMS? Do you send in their $5 or whatever it is, and suddenly they get it? What do you do?
I was going to say, what I've been doing with some of the couple of guys is I take that little brochure and I get together with them, and I don't show them the brochure. I turn it over in the back and I give them a little message on Joshua 1:8, and then I turn it over and give them, you know, how I can put that into practice in his life. Just a little presentation.
Okay, now John has mentioned three things there. Joshua 1:8. So he uses Joshua 1:8. Okay, that's scripture reference. Materials and tools. You introduce something that, the new TMS brochure. And the activity is, I'll put down motivation talk. Whatever speaks to you, you know. And that may be all you need to put down. I mean, you don't have to make it real complicated, you see. In other words, you have a little thing that works. Now, what you can do on this, that might be sufficient, see, and you go on and do another one. And what you'll find is that the way we were trying to get this working out in pen is that this was loose leaf. That's why I've drawn it like this. And it was like a workbook. So John does that for a while, and he might find that's very successful. So, you know, as long as you're having success in it, don't worry about it. You know, keep doing it. But then what might happen, you say, well, I ran across a guy, and, you know, he didn't really respond. You figure, now what else could I do? And you might come up with a new thought. So you jot it down there. Or another thing is that when you get together a staff, on, particularly, this is, you know, a fairly simple one, but some of them might be more complicated. Say, well, how do I do this? So what do we do? And we do this all the time, actually. We talk over, you know, how do you get this guy moving in this direction? Or how do you help him do this? Or what have you found this? Say, boy, I ran across this book. Or like, for example, when I was down in New Zealand, Australia, I ran across a tape on knowing Christ that beats anything I've ever heard. What do you know, man, make a note of that, you know. This type of thing, see, and you just keep jotting it in. You're not using it, mark it out. And it becomes a very workable system. Now, let me make one other comment in trying to relate it to this level. Now, the difference, as I see it, the basic principles, the basic concept can be the same. But the difference is I have 33 training objectives at this level, and I want to see that young Christian accomplish all 33 of those. They're simple, they're basic, they're fundamental. But when it gets down into this level, there are certain things like the profile. I want to make sure he gets those things. But I have, you know, notebooks of syllabuses and training objectives and all, and I use them more like a prayer list. So here's this list of topics. Here's the man. So I just pray over these various things, pray through this in light of knowing that man. And then as the Spirit leads, develop the things that, you know, may are strengths in his life. In other words, we had, by the way, Leroy pointed out over here, that which is a very significant point. That when we're listing a man's needs in this context is not a negative term. You know, not his needs in terms of problems. It can be in terms of strengths or weaknesses. In other words, just what will help him mature, come up to his full maturity in Christ. What does he need to do that? So need is not a negative thing. So as I pray through this list, then I come up with, well, here's an area that, here's something I need to work with him on. And then what happens when you get down in this level, of course, we start in cross-training. And we have summer training programs. And the way it can work is I've really gotten to know the man. He's been in my area for 2 or 3 years. He's a disciple maker. He's a good man. As I pray about, here are three or four things that really are prime, you know, these are the training objectives, the things I'd like to see accomplished. Now, he's going out to Bioli training program this summer. So what do I do? I pray over those and say, is it possible that any one of those four or two of those four training objectives could be met while he's at the Biola training program? Well, this one has to do with the local area ministry, so, you know, to do it at a training program is not the right thing. But here's one right here that has to do with maybe running a team or something like that. Well, he'll have an opportunity to get experience doing that. So what do? I get in contact with the man who's running the program and talk to him and say, do you think in the light of your program that you'll be able to accomplish these two training objectives with Bill? And we discuss it, or write, you know, back and forth. And he says yes. So then, say he's a team leader level, so the director is, you know, personally meeting with him. So he doesn't have to take the first 3 or 4 weeks of the program to try to get, you know, find out what his needs are. He starts right in trying to help him in those two training objectives. Now, he may discover something I hadn't discovered. Well, he can still help him in that too. But when Bill comes back to my area, he hasn't just been to another summer training program, but he's made progress in the things that he needs to, you know, move along. Another way this works, particularly over here in the advanced stage, like in Sydney, I had Ray Ewers. Ray is married, has 7 children, ages, I think they were from about 5 to 16. Now, Ray has a terrific family life. But let's assume that he had a problem in his family life, and that became a training objective. Because, see, to be a rep, you have to have a good family life. So that's, say, 1 of 4 training objectives I have for Ray Ewers. But I, Marvin Smith, just because he's under me, do not have to personally meet all 4 of those training objectives. So what do I do? Okay, I get with Joe Simmons, and we have an understanding that I'm going to work with Ray on 1, 2, and 3, and when Joe comes over, he's going to work on 4, which is the family life thing. But what happens? We get the job done, and men get trained, and they get trained the things that are on target and the things that are needful in their life. So that's sort of the basic way it works. And these things I've been talking about here have to do with this area here. Now, after dinner tonight, what I'd like to do is talk a little bit more about this and also specifically selection of PARs. So why don't we stop this and then we'll have a little time for questions. Oh, okay. Okay, any questions? Oh, good point. Yes, I forgot to... we spent a whole weekend out at Dwight's working on just this. What we did is gave them the idea and let them divide up into groups and work out their own training objectives and activities, and it was quite a good session. No, what I have is one page... You know, this is the standard. And then in the area, like, say, what you would do is have just one page where you would list, say, you know, 10 girls or 5 girls... and you could just check off, you know, where they are. In other words, you could have, like, you know, 33 points. You know, like that little checklist we made back here? Something just like this. But with, you know, the 33 points rather than with this point. In other words, you just need one page to do that. And that's your working page. And this is sort of a reference thing. It stays the same, you know, for all the people.
On your example here of training objective number 10, in order to meet that, actually, you would have had to start the activities and all the rest beforehand, because the objective is he's completed 12 verses plus the B-Rep. Now, would you actually make a training objective number 5 to meet training objective number 10? Or would you kind of just start working on training objective number 10 early, so that by the time he's there, he meets it?
Okay, now this is where, like, timetable, see? You might make another note. Motivation, you know, you might say try to get him started in book 1. And in fact, I do have a training objective. Well, wait a minute. Let's see if I do or not. I guess I don't have an actual training objective. All I have is this... this. But if it was help, you know, if it'd be helpful to you to have another training objective, you sure could, you know. That's where I say it's a guide, it's flexible. You know, everybody has sort of their own little quirks of how they like to do these things. Some people are very detailed and like to, well, if you like to do that, do it, you know, put little drawings on it, make it real fancy. If you like to scribble it out on the back of a napkin, well, punch holes in your napkin, put it in your notebook. You know, make it fit your situation, your temperament. Well, that's when it gets to be fun, see, because it's yours. And also what you'll find is that it can be like with disciple makers or something. And this is one of the things Dwight had at the conference. He found it be very helpful with his bunch of disciple makers to do it. It was very stimulating in helping them get the vision and heart of disciple making to work on it together. You see? So they spent, you know, a weekend, worked on some of this together. But everybody, it was done in such a way that it was still personalized. You know, this guy came up with something that wasn't just dished out, you know, nice leather-bound manual of how to make nab disciples in 33 easy steps or something. Okay, see, and that's a good thing to keep in mind, because what we are trying to do, know your goal, is as soon as possible, all things being, you know, we want to help him come up to his full maturity to help him, and that next milestone there is the profile of an nab disciple. So that's a good reason why we don't want to wait till book 3 or book 4 to get him started in the new TMS, because he might... Say he's really responding, well, he'll have finished everything but that one point, and then he has to go on another 2 or 3 months or something. So that's a very good point. Which, you know, when you start working this out, you know, when you pray about and think about, those are the kind of things you have to think about when you're putting this down. You know, and why you put down here book 1, say, rather than book 3. Gene?
You need a special page.
Well, what I think is a good idea is have one page for each training objective. But you just do it one time, in other words. And what you end up with, see, you start developing at this level. See, don't get overwhelmed by all this, but work on it over the next couple of years, you see. So what you do is, say you work out in your notebook 33 for this level. Then as you get together, you work out some things at this level and this level, and what you'll end up with, I have 3 or 4 notebooks now, but, you know, a level for training men to be contact points, training men in their contact point, and we've worked out training men in their first term as a representative. But see, you really don't have to worry about training men in their first term as a representative if you're just a team leader, see? I mean... But you start this and you just keep developing it, and then you have a good, over a period of time, you know, good sort of reference library. So what I have, I have sort of my reference library here of training objectives that I thumb through and pray over, and then I have these sort of these checklists and worksheets that are in my action, you know, my battlefield manual. And that's the one I'm out on the campus and marking over and scribbling in and everything. Well, it depends on what the training objective is as far as timetable. Now, this one, see, Bill has suggested a good reason, you know, a good reason for establishing a starting date, see, in order to get him through. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking about that, and, you know, when you figure it out, see, I had at the end of book 3 that he's memorized first 12 verses. Well, he ought to be able, I should have, you know, 24 or 30 or something. See, in other words, he should be further along than that. Really. I mean, but it depends on what the training objective is, what kind of timetable, whether it's in terms of, you know, like that, or just what it is.
In an area ministry, you have a notebook which has, you know, you have all this stuff somewhere. Now, say you're working with, you know, four DMs who each have teams, and you have one team of disciples that you're working with. Now, do you expect the DMs and the disciples to, how much of this, all this stuff, do you expect them to utilize?
Okay.
They're the ones who are sharing the B rations, not you.
Okay, right. I work on sort of a need-to-know basis. You know, when a person has a need to know. So, start out, new convert, 2 months old in the Lord. I don't say a thing about manuals, training objectives, nothing, you know. He goes along and he becomes a disciple maker, and he has a couple of fellows he's trying to help. Then he has a need to know how to do just that, you know, just this much. So what do? I get with him and get him to work out what I've just suggested with you. Now then somebody, you know, some thinker will come up with the idea, well, what if this guy right here, before he becomes a disciple, you know, he's only been a Christian 3 months, he's halfway through the program, and he leads somebody to Christ. Boy, he'd sure be helpful if he knew this stuff, but he can't get it, you know, for another 3 months. What do you do? Well, I don't give him the whole... See, here I've given you the whole picture. What do I do with this new 3-month-old Christian who's just led a man to Christ? I say, okay, what do you think he should have? He said, well, it might be good to be in Bible study. I said, hey, that's right. You know, why don't you get him started in studying Christian living? And he said, boy, Scripture ministry will help me. Hey, that's right. Why don't you, you know, give him the B rations, you see. You know, you just take it a step at a time. You know, give him a little bit, and then he uses it, and you give him a little bit more. And then by the time he gets down here, then, you know, you give him more of the big picture. And the same thing here, you know, there's stuff, well, when he gets over here, then you can give him some of this, you know, just as he has a need to know. When he starts helping the basically, see, when he gets down here and starts helping this fellow, then give him that. When he gets here and starts helping guys here, at, you know, give him that. Sort of that's the way I've been working it. Like a profile of an ad disciple, I don't tell a guy who's a 2-month-old Christian, you know, here's this big professional word, you know, profile type thing. I just, you know, try to encourage him, motivate him to love Jesus and hate sin and minister to people. But there will come a time when these things will be helpful to him. And this is one of the tendencies, of course, is we start just dumping it on down the line. And this is what happened. Remember I said that the way this came about is, you know, what I did with the rep was trying to get with his team leader who was, well, it doesn't quite work that way. And but the principles and concepts are the same. With the young spiritual infants, you give them just a little bit. And also, it's the same way with children, see? See, Michelle, 2 years old, she doesn't need to understand all the whys and wherefores of nutrition, you know. You say, just, you know, eat it. But, you know, when they get older and they start taking more responsibility, they need to know why they're doing what they're doing. So there's a stage of just that they need to do it. And then as they develop in maturity, they need to understand why they're doing it. So the same thing here. Whereas like with a young Christian, I don't say, you know, I sort of think Bible study would be good for you. You know, what would you like to do something? What would you like to do in Bible study, you know? Would you like to study Revelation or Hezekiah or something, you know? And you know, I just say, here stays in Christian living, try to really motivate him that this is the greatest thing going, and here, do it. But when he gets down here, I really challenge and encourage him to be creative and learn and the things that he's interested in. And, you know, if he has a bent towards systematic theology, well, man, get him all fired up and help him in that direction, you see, when he's way down here.
Get a guy doing something on systematic theology when he's leading group study in FTS.
Well, way down here, that would be way down. I mean, if it comes to, at least what I would do, he'd be way down the line, you know, if it's systematic theology. But what I do there is I've worked out a little thing on Bible study. And what I've discovered happening is when a person has been in an area about 3 or 4 years, he starts recycling in Bible study. You know, he's done 2 Timothy 4 times, and he's done, you know, Philippians 3 times, and 1 John twice, and but he's never touched this, 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 and this. So in my approach to Bible study, what I've tried to work on is to get a person, you know, the first 2 or 3 years doesn't really matter. You know, it's going to be good stuff. And even it doesn't hurt to recycle, you know, some of these books